This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. Congress has once again, and almost despite itself, avoided a government shutdown by once again kicking the can down the road. We are going to revisit this legislative aversion to making tough decisions about government spending again in January, and then again in February, thanks to the creative way that Republican Speaker Mike Johnson has decided to fund the government, relying, it has to be said here, on Democrats to get it done. Whatever's going to happen after the first of the year, though, is going to be pretty much the opposite of bipartisan. There's a line item, though, in the farm bill, which, for the record, expired in September and has yet to be reauthorized, that irks both conservatives and liberals. The federal crop insurance program, which helps make farmers whole when they lose crops or revenue due to things beyond their control. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has today's episode of our Every Now and Then series. There's a government program for what now?
The Environmental Working Group is considered a pretty liberal group, and it has a lot of problems with the USDA's crop insurance program, which paid out more than $19 billion last year, the most ever.
Only 20% of farms in the U.S. actually participate in the crop insurance program.
Ann Schechinger is an agricultural economist with the group. Unlike traditional insurance, where buyers pay a premium that goes into a pot to cover any losses, farmers only pay about 40% of their crop insurance premiums. The other roughly 60% is paid by the federal government, aka taxpayers. And, says Schechinger,
the majority of crop insurance money goes to just four main crops, corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton. And a lot of the money, 65%, goes to farmers in just 10 states.
Conservative groups also have a problem with crop insurance. The American Enterprise Institute and Taxpayers for Common Sense argue that with rising deficits, a program that costs upwards of $10 billion every year, and climbing due to climate change, is ripe for a review in the next farm bill. Chris Edwards is an economist at the Libertarian Cato Institute.
Crop insurance reduces risks for farmers, but why can't farmers reduce risks by themselves in the marketplace, such as diversifying their crops, diversifying their planting locations?
Edwards says when farmers know their losses will be covered at a subsidized rate, they may farm in ways they otherwise wouldn't, like continuing to grow water-intensive crops in areas plagued by drought. Billy Hackett is a policy specialist at the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition and says crop insurance as it exists today tends to benefit wealthy farmers with large farms.
The federal crop insurance program works very well for a small group of farmers. And the farmers who are left out are small farmers, beginning farmers, BIPOC farmers, farmers growing fruits and vegetables.
So groups across the political spectrum are calling for a fresh look at the premium subsidies when Congress takes up the next farm bill, especially those going to wealthy farmers, because right now there are no income limits for who gets subsidies or caps on payouts. But farmers who do use the program build their business models around it. Mark Wilson co-owns Wilson Legacy Farms in Smyrna, Delaware, with his brother.
And we're overlooking about 170 acres. We'll go 2 years corn, then we rotate into wheat and soybeans.
The Wilsons won't say how much they pull in every year in crop insurance payments, but for their 6,000 acres across 50 farms, they say the program is a necessary tool for managing expenses and keeping food prices low.
People that complain about crop insurance, if they want the farmers to assume their own risk, if they're ready to pay $25 a pound for beef or $10 a gallon for a gallon of milk, take the government out of it, and then you'll see what happens.
That's one of the arguments made by those who want to maintain the program mostly as is. Barrett Nelson is an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
Farmers are capable of managing some of the risks, but there's a lot of things outside of our control.
Like record-breaking heat, drought, extreme weather shifts from climate change that alter the land faster than farmers can adapt.
And that's what that safety net is for, to make sure that the farmer can come back the next year and the year after that.
Congress gave itself until next year to craft a new farm bill, so expect more discussion of the winners and losers when it comes to crop insurance and the balance of risk between farmers and the rest of us. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.